Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, October 12, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are at verse 12. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, giving you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom. Freedom to worship you, freedom to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of the Word of God through the study of your God-breathed scriptures. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You have to wait for Deacon Al to come in. First thing first, it's Deacon Al's wife's birthday, Sherry Bingham's birthday today. So what did you get her for a birthday present? Well, I know yesterday he came in late, and I said, "What were you? You're late." He goes, "I know, I had to get a birthday present for Sherry." I said, "Oh, okay." Those diamond rings are expensive, though. Now, if you go to Swarovski, you get glass. They look prettier. They cost less. Debbie's got a lot of Swarovski. Happy birthday to Miss Sherry. Also, we got a update on Rapid Robert Wilkin. Bob Wilkin, Grace Evangelical Society, competed in the Huntsman Senior World Games, and he was in the 70 to 74 age group. And he competed in the 3,000 meter race walk and the 3,000 meter power walk events, and he got two silver medals in both of those events. And then he said, "The guy who beat me has a resting heart rate of 38. He said, "My resting heart rate is 64. And I'm going to send back, well, in a couple of years, his resting heart rate will be zero. And you'll get the gold medal. So don't, not to worry. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a contrast of glory. The glory that was in the age of Israel with the Mosaic Law, which was a fading glory, in contrast with the glory of the church age, which is a glory of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and the unique spiritual life, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which is a surpassing glory. We live in the... We could call this dispensation, the church age, the dispensation of surpassing glory. We live in a totally unique time that other believers, you can look at all the great heroes of the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, any of those, David, none of them had the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Not one of them. The only thing that a couple of them had was the endowment of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit was beside them to help them in a specific task. But that was it. None of them had the universal, had the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. None of them had the filling of the Holy Spirit. But you do. Moses didn't have it. David didn't have it. Abraham didn't have it. You have it. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. We live in the time of the surpassing glory. The church age is the age of surpassing glory. And in the age of Israel, Satan's attack was on the line of Christ. In our dispensation, it's on every single one of us, because Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The attack isn't on Christ. In the Old Testament, it was on the line of Christ. When Christ was here at the first advent, it was on Jesus Christ himself. He won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict on the cross. And then with his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And now, since he's beside the Father at the right hand, now the body of Christ is here on earth, and Satan has shifted gears. His attack is on every single one of you. Every single member of the body of Christ. And that means we need a surpassing glory. And that surpassing glory is the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, which enables you to live the unique spiritual life which never existed before in human history, but exists now. This is what we're contrasting here. Two glories. And so in 2 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 6, who, God the Father, has qualified, empowered, authorized us. Us is the Apostle Paul and his whole team. Pastor Teacher Timothy, Pastor Teacher Titus. Who, God the Father, has qualified, empowered, and authorized us as ministers of a new covenant. Absolutely not of the letter of the Mosaic Law, but of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, Codex number 1 of the Mosaic Law, in letters engraved on stones, came with glory, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was a fading glory. Most certainly, the ministry of the Spirit in the church age will be with even more glory even more glorious, greater glory. For if the ministry that produces condemnation, the Mosaic Law, has a glory, first-class condition, and it does, much more, to a much greater degree, the ministry that produces righteousness overflows and is extremely rich in the sphere of glory. For indeed, that which received glory, the Mosaic Law, has no glory in comparison with this case on account of the surpassing glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. For if that which is transitory, that fades away, came with glory, first class condition, and it did, to a much greater degree, that which is permanent is in the sphere of glory, much more glory. And that brought us to verse 12. And verse 12 is a conclusion. It's a conclusion based on everything that's been taught in verses 6 through 11. Now, a conclusion, verse 12. Therefore, since we keep on having such a hope, confidence, the abounding glory of the unique Spirit of God, the unique spiritual life, we keep on employing great boldness in our teaching. Things have shifted. Paul says everything shifted. We're not in the age of Israel anymore. It's not shadow Christology. Now we're in the church age. Now we have the completed canon of Scripture. And now we have mysterion, mystery doctrines of the church age. We're not under the ritual plan of God. We're under the protocol plan of God. And everybody up till now, all they know about is the ritual plan of God. So we have to be teaching at a new level. The Apostle Paul taught at a new level. Pastor, teacher Timothy and Titus taught at a new level. Therefore, since we keep on having such confidence, the abounding glory of the unique spiritual life, we keep on employing great boldness in our teaching. We have to. Because most of these people are still living in the age of Israel. And this is the unique church age. Intensified stage of the angelic conflict, the unique spiritual life given to every single believer. They've never heard anything about this. So everything shifts gears in the communication of the word. Now, the key word here is kraomai. Uh-oh. That's too thick. That's not the... No, this isn't where it's supposed to be. Hit the red right where? Well, here? Oh my, if you get it thick like that, I won't even be able to get it on there, see? C-H-R-A-O-M-A-I. Kraomai. And it means to make use of or to employ. The present tense is an iterative present. And you diagram that like this. And that represents every time that Paul would teach, every time Titus would teach, every time Timothy would teach, again and again and again and again and again and again and again. That's the iterative present. It's the present tense of repeated action. Every time Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus taught the great mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age. He taught these truths with great boldness. He had to. It was a whole new ball game. Everybody had been living in the age of Israel and the shadow Christology, ritual plan of God. Everything shifted gears. So they had to be taught with great boldness. The universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, totally unique, never occurred before ever in human history, had to be taught with great boldness as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live, the unique spiritual life, which never existed before. All of these things had to be taught with boldness, great boldness, Paul writes. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. Paul and his faithful team of communicators performed the action of the verb, indicative mood, declarative, dogmatic fact of the Word of God. The adjective polus denotes degree and means great. It can mean great, strong, severe, hard, deep, profound, much. And it modifies the noun paresia. Looks like that in the Greek, P-A-R-R, long E-S-I-A, paresia. And paresia, first of all, means outspokenness, frankness, plainness of speech. Secondly, it means openness to the public, before whom speaking and teaching takes place. For example, teaching to a congregation in a local church. And then paresia came to mean courage, confidence, boldness, fearlessness. And it was especially used of teaching in the presence of persons of high rank and authority. And that's exactly what the pastor teacher has. Your royal family of God, your spiritual aristocracy. So the pastor teacher teaches the God-breathed scriptures to spiritual aristocracy, the royal family of God. Therefore, since we keep on having such a confidence, the abounding glory, surpassing glory of the Spirit of God in the church age and the unique spiritual life, we keep on employing great boldness in our teaching of God's Word. Now we just started, we stopped, I think you have point one, that was about it. So point one, I'll go over it. Verse 12 is a conclusion based on what has been taught in verses 6 through 11. 2, there is such a contrast between the fading glory of the Mosaic Law in the age of Israel with the surpassing glory of the Spirit of God and the unique spiritual life in the church age that it demands great boldness in teaching. There is such a contrast between the fading glory of the Mosaic Law in the age of Israel with the surpassing glory of the Spirit of God in the church age and the unique spiritual life. It demands great boldness in teaching. 3, this teaching of Bible doctrine, and the Greek word describing church age truth is musterion. M-U-S-T long E-R-I-O-N. Musterion. This teaching of Bible doctrine, musterion, doctrine of the church age must be taught boldly and with great courage. It must be taught boldly and with great courage. Four, the church age is the most unique dispensation in all of human history. And that's where you're living. That's where we are. It's the most unique dispensation in all of human history. Not only do you have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life, but we've been baptized into union with Christ. We're in union with Jesus Christ and make up the body of Christ. That never has occurred ever in human history. But we are royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He's the head. We are the body. The body of Christ. Every single one of us. And now Satan has shifted gears. And now he attacks every single one of us as the body of Christ. This is the most unique dispensation in all of human history. Five, we live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And therefore, Satan's attack is on every member of the body of Christ. We live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, and therefore Satan's attack is on every member of the body of Christ, on each one of us. But God, in His grace and His power, has given us everything we need to be winners in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Six, therefore, it is imperative that we learn and believe the absolute truth concerning the unique spiritual life, concerning the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, concerning the filling of the Spirit. In fact, there are 10 unique characteristics true to the church age, never true in any other time in human history. All 10 of those unique characteristics, it's imperative that we learn and believe, metabolize, and apply to our life. Seven, we must totally understand the contrast of the fading glory of the Mosaic Law with the surpassing glory of the Spirit of God in the church age and the unique spiritual life. We must totally understand the contrast of the fading glory of the Mosaic Law with the surpassing glory of the Spirit of God in the church age and the unique spiritual life. 8, we must totally understand the contrast of the endowment of the Spirit in the age of Israel. We must totally understand the contrast of the endowment of the Spirit in the age of Israel, which was for a few believers, with the universal indwelling of the Spirit and filling of the Spirit for every single church age believer. So we must totally understand the contrast of the endowment of the Spirit in the age of Israel to a few with the universal indwelling of the Spirit and filling of the Spirit for the entire royal family of God. 9, in the Old Testament, a lot of the doctrine was communicated in shadows and in ritual. We studied that a little bit. We're starting to study that in our Tuesday night class in Joel. And we are seeing it in the shadow Christology communicated in the sacrifices and offering, the Minka offering, the gift offering, and the Nasek offering, the drink offering. That was shadow Christology. It taught about Christ, but it was shadow Christology and ritual. 10. But today in the church age, we have the completed canon of Scripture. Today in the church age, we have the completed canon of Scripture. 11. In the pre-canon period of the church age, the communicators had the gift of apostle and the gift of prophecy, apostleship and prophecy, and the gift of pastor-teacher. All three of those were operating in the pre-canon period of the church age. 12, we're now living in the post-canon period of the church age, 96 AD to the rapture. And in the post-canon period of the church age, we have only one gift of communication for the Word of God, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Now, there is the gift of evangelism, but that is directed to unbelievers, not to believers. The gift of evangelism operates outside of the local church. It operates in communicating the grace gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that is in spiritual death. And it's an opportunity for you and your royal ambassadorship to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a dying world. That's the gift of evangelism. That's outside of the local church. But inside the local church, training believers, there's only one spiritual gift of communication in the post-canon period. That's the gift of pastor-teacher. 12. So in the post-canon period of the church age, we have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. That's one gift, not two gifts, one gift, pastor-teacher. Poimen didaskalos, two nouns in the same case in Ephesians 4:11. They're both in the accusative case, one connected by chi. The first one has the definite article, second one does not. That's the Granville Sharp rule of grammar, and that means you don't have two gifts, you have only one gift. That one spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, not two gifts. 12. So again, in the post-canon period of the church age, we have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. 13. With the glorification of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, the church age and the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit occurred for the first time at Pentecost. That's the beginning of the church age. It could not begin until Jesus Christ was glorified. It could not begin until His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. He was resurrected on the earth for 40 days. Then His ascension and session seated at the right hand of the Father for 10 more days. On Pentecost, which is 50 days, the church age began. So with the glorification of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, the church age and the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit occurred for the first time at Pentecost and all throughout our dispensation from Pentecost until the rapture. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. C. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Now, this Jesus hasn't gone to the cross. He's not seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is the age of Israel. Jesus Christ is speaking and teaching in the age of Israel. This is not the church age when he is teaching. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now I want you to know, we went over this yesterday too. There is the grace invitation where Jesus Christ invites man to come to him. That's the grace invitation. There's a reverse invitation, which is works. You never ever invite Christ to you, not into your heart, not into your life. That's not in the Word of God. Now you say, well, in Revelation it says, you know, I'm knocking and ask me to come. That's talking about discipline. That's divine discipline. That has nothing to do with salvation. The Revelation passage has nothing to do with salvation. You don't invite Christ into your heart or into your life. If that's all you've done, you're not saved, period. But notice what Jesus Christ says here. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. The invitation is Jesus Christ inviting you to come to him. Now, what does that mean to come to him? Well, he tells us. And whoever believes in me, that's how you come to him. You come to Christ by believing in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ tells us, here's the invitation. He also says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice, who's invited? Christ is inviting all the unbelievers. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do you come to Christ? Believe in him. And he tells that right here. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. How do you do that? By believing in me. Believing in Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. Again, Jesus Christ is saying to the world, you come to me. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me. How do you come to Christ? By believing in Jesus Christ. Now we have it here, and Jesus Christ tells us exactly what it means. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Jesus Christ invites the unbeliever to come to him. And drink. And what is that? How do you do that? Whoever believes in me, faith alone in Christ alone, that's how you come to Christ. As the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this, he meant the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Not now, because it's not the church age. Jesus Christ is speaking in the age of Israel. We're later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, had not been given. Why? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified. He's living on the earth, first advent. He hasn't even gone to the cross yet. He has to go to the cross, solve mankind's problem of sin, death, burial, resurrection, 40 years on the earth in resurrection, ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, glorified. Now at Pentecost, the church age begins. Now the Spirit of God is given. And it's defined here very clearly. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him. The basis of salvation is faith in Christ. Over and over and over, I've given you about 40 different passages in the Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Over and over and over again. Not for you ever to invite Christ into your heart or into your life. That's works. That's works. That's a false gospel. That's not the grace gospel. Jesus Christ invites the unbeliever to come to him by believing in him. All right. Turn over to John 14. John 14. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Here we have parahumene in contrast with enhumene. John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, parakletos, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of doctrine. I love this title for the God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of doctrine, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides, parahumene, beside you right now. He abides beside you because it's the age of Israel. This is the endowment of the Spirit. But he will be enhumene in you. He will be enhumene. Wait, for a minute, I went back to that mouse running around on the cabin floor. There was a bug running around right here, and I thought back, reminds me of that mouse. Demon-possessed mouse. This was a demon-possessed bug. It's now dead. That bug will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So here we have the contrast between the parahumene, the Holy Spirit beside you, the endowment of the Spirit, and when Jesus Christ was alive in the first advent, but he will be in the future when church age begins from Pentecost on, he will be enhumene in you, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And then turn over to John 16. John 16. And again, God, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class here. And remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and holding Bible class in the first advent, it's the age of Israel. It's not the church age. It doesn't begin until Pentecost when he's glorified and at the right hand of the Father. So verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of doctrine, comes, again he has this great title, the Spirit of doctrine, Spirit of truth comes, when he comes, that is when the church age begins, the Pentecost, when he, the Spirit of doctrine, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So with the glorification of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, the church age and the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit occurred for the first time on Pentecost. It's been going on and will continue until the rapture, the end of the church age. 14. So now it becomes necessary to communicate this mystery doctrines of the church age with great boldness. Now it becomes necessary to communicate this mystery doctrine, mysterion, of the church age with great boldness. 15. This must be accomplished by eisegetical, categorical, exegetical Bible teaching. This will come to its completion at the end of chapter 3 in verses 17 and 18, the last two verses of 2 Corinthians 3. Previews of coming attraction, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. Now, spiritual freedom is made up of two categories. Here is you place your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit, unique characteristic of the church age, baptizes you, enters you into union with Christ. In union with Christ, you have positional freedom. Positional freedom in union with Christ. As you live the spiritual life, you have experiential freedom. Spiritual freedom is made up of both positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, positional freedom and experiential freedom, beholding as in a mirror the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, Galatians 4:19, from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Jesus Christ being formed in you. Just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Well, that's going to be the conclusion, the culmination, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. So again, verse 12, therefore, since we keep on having such a confidence, the abounding glory of the unique spiritual life, we keep on employing great boldness in our teaching. One, today in the church age, no believer can attain spiritual maturity and become an invisible hero, nor can he glorify God apart from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine from the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And by the way, you know, I'd be the first one, if you could read the Bible on your own and grow up and reach spiritual maturity, I'd be the first one to tell you. And I would say, go home. Get the hell out of here. Go home and read the Bible on your own. Read the Bible on your own. Grow up and become great believers by reading the Bible on your own. If you could do it, I'd be the first one to tell you. And then I'd go fishing. Fishing, hunting. My hunting, though, is interesting. Now, I don't have no problem driving my Hummer all over the mountains. I don't need roads with the Hummer. All over the mountains, put my rifle out the window and shoot the hell out of something. See? I have no problem with that. I don't have to walk up to the top of the mountain. I can't. So I'll drive the Hummer up to the top of the mountain, put the... Boom. Did you try that with that out? No? Mm-hmm. So today in the church age, no believer can attain spiritual maturity and become an invisible hero, nor glorify God apart from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Turn over to Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul made this very clear in Ephesians 4 and also in Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles. That was a communication gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. There are no longer apostles today. Some to be prophets. That was another communication gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. There are no prophets today in the post-canon period of the church age. Some to be evangelists. That is a current gift in the post-canon period of the church age, but it's a communication gift to present the gospel to unbelievers. This is outside of the local church, not inside the local church. This is outside the local church to unbelievers. And some to be poimen didaskalos. And this is two words in the accusative case connected by chi. First one has a definite article, second one does not. That's the Granville-Sharp rule of grammar. That means there is one spiritual gift here. It's not two gifts, pastors and teachers. It's one gift, pastor-teacher. And some to be pastor-teachers, that is the only communication gift in the post-canon period of the church age for the royal family of God. The only one. It has the highest spiritual authority in the post-canon period of the church age. And what does he give the gift of pastor-teachers for? To prepare, to equip God's people for diaconia, works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Edification. Edified, built up, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the epinosis, completed knowledge of the Son of God, and might become mature. Well, this is a word you should be pretty familiar with this, teleos. Sometimes it's translated in your Bibles perfect. Well, I got news for you. None of you are perfect. And none of you are going to be perfect while you're here. Now, in your resurrection body, hell yeah, you'll be perfect in your resurrection body. But not here. But you can be perfect's a terrible translation. This is mature, or this is for a word for spiritual maturity. Mature, teleos. So that the body of Christ might be built up, edification, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the epinosis, completed knowledge of the Son of God, and become teleos believers, spiritually mature believers, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's why the gift of pastor-teacher is given. Notice, that spiritual gift is the key for you to fulfill these things here. Without that spiritual gift, you're not prepared. You're not equipped. You will not become spiritually mature believers. You can read the Bible till you're blue, And what you get out of that is you put it in a thimble, a very small thimble. Turn over to Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, let's start at verse 24. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you." And this is his, this is the Apostle Paul as a spiritually mature believer, qualified for suffering for blessing. He had more suffering for blessing than any believer ever. And he says, "I rejoice. I rejoice in what was suffered for you," suffering for blessing. "And it's for you, for your benefit. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions," the suffering for blessings that Christ went through, for the benefit of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to the royal family of God in the church age. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mysterion, mystery doctrine of the church age, which is Christ in you. Not only the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, but the universal indwelling of Jesus Christ. He indwells you. When God the Holy Spirit indwells you, makes your body a temple. Now there's a temple for the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, to indwell in you. That never occurred before. Jesus Christ never indwelled believers before, but the Holy Spirit never made the bodies a temple so the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, could indwell them. So he says, the glorious riches of this mystery, mysterion, mystery doctrine of the church age, which is Christ in you, the Shekinah glory in you. Why? How can he be in us? Because God the Holy Spirit makes our body a temple for the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, and we proclaim him, the teaching of the Mysterion doctrines, admonishing and teaching everyone. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone. Now, in this translation, it has perfect. It's teleos again. This is our word teleos. Spiritual maturity. Bring all of you to the point of spiritual maturity, teleos, in Christ. To this end, I labor. To this end, I am striving, day after day after day. I labor, I am striving according to his power, which so powerfully works in me. And that is true for every pastor, teacher today in the post-canon period of the church age. The faithful communicator of the Word of God studies and teaches the Word of God by the grace and power of God. And any faithful communicator will tell you that they are absolutely nothing, but God is everything. And their communication is totally by the grace and the power of God. So today in the church age, no believer can attain spiritual maturity and become an invisible hero, nor can he glorify God apart from consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Ephesians 4:11-13, Colossians 1:24-29. 2. The Bible is our textbook, but the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is designed to communicate the specifics of the Word of God that results in spiritual growth. The Bible is our textbook, but the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is designed to communicate the specifics of the Word of God that results in spiritual growth. 3. The God-breathed scriptures must be learned under authority, and that authority is vested in the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. There are no apostles in the post-canon period of the church age. There are no prophets in the post-canon period of the church age. The only gift of communication in the post-canon period of the church age to the royal family of God is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. The God-breathed scriptures must be learned under authority, and that authority is vested in the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. No believer can read the Bible daily for himself and discover and learn the mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age. It must be taught through authority. Authority is always the key to the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. The order of the day is consistent and faithful learning, believing, and applying Bible doctrine, resulting in spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. And this cannot occur apart from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. 4. Since every church-age believer is a royal priest, you are all royal priests. Since every church in the age of Israel is a specialized priesthood, you had to be of the tribe of Levi. We don't have a specialized priesthood. We have a universal priesthood. Every church-age believer is a priest. Since every church-age believer is a royal priest and represents himself before God, it is necessary for him to understand the system of delegated authority whereby he receives his spiritual nourishment and resultant spiritual growth. Since every church-age believer is a royal priest and represents himself before God, it is necessary for him to understand the system of delegated authority whereby he receives his spiritual nourishment and resultant spiritual growth. 5. Every believer must take the responsibility for his own decisions. Every believer must take the responsibility for his own decisions. Six. Therefore, the believer must make decisions with regard to his faithfulness in metabolization of Bible doctrine from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Therefore, the believer must make decisions with regard to his faithfulness in metabolization of Bible doctrine from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Seven, failure to, one, find that sound Bible teaching church, failure to consistently and faithfully assemble with positive volition and humility to grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, failure to advance to spiritual maturity and become a part of the pivot is directly related to the fall of the client nation to God. Directly related to the fall of the client nation to God. And therefore, the believer's attitude toward the Word of God, as taught by the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, whomever he is, becomes the major issue in the preservation of the client nation to God. Eight, God has provided two systems of spiritual authority for the church age. God has provided two systems of spiritual authority for the post-canon period of the church age. Spiritual authority number one, the Word of God. It's also called the mind of Christ, the thinking of Jesus Christ. It's also called the voice of the Spirit. The second spiritual authority is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So God has provided two systems of spiritual authority for the post-canon period of the church age, the Word of God and the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And that, from that point, you understand that, you take that, and then you take the football and you run with it. And there will be a few that will, and they will be the Hanakon in Revelation, the articular participle of Nikao, which means to be a winner, the victor. Nike, victory. They are the winner believers. All throughout Revelation, the Hanakon, winner believers. I think they're just translated overcomer. Stupid translation. You tell me, what is an overcomer? That's not even what the word has. Nothing to do with Nikao. Nikao means to be a victor, a winner. Hanakon is the substantival participle. It functions as a noun, and it's best translated winner, the winner believer, not the overcomer believer, the winner believer. We have a few winner believers. Unfortunately, in America today, not very many. Because you have a free will. These are critical things. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. This is very critical. And he's putting the emphasis here in this church age, emphasis on the gift of, well, he was in the pre-canon period of the church age, apostleship and pastor-teacher. That they must teach these things boldly, fearlessly, confidently. Because we're in a whole new ball game now. We're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Paul knows that. And it has to be shifted. Satan shifted gears. Paul says we're going to shift gears too in the communication of the Word of God. And that means each one of you got to come to that conclusion. That there's nothing more important than what you're doing right now. Nothing. The Word of God is more important than the very air that you breathe. When you come to that conclusion and you find where you are fed the grace and truth of the Word of God, then it's up to you. You got a free will. You're free to assemble and metabolize that Word, and you're free to not to. That's all up to you. And I'm not here to force anyone to do anything. I know what I'm here to do, study and teach the Word of God. And I do that day after day after day after day. And I don't want to do anything else. That's the only reason why I'm here. And if I operated the way many of you operate, you'd never get any Bible teaching. But I don't operate the way many of you operate. You're welcome to do whatever you think is important, but I'm going to be here studying and teaching the Word of God. I'll be here when you're here. I'll be here when you're not here. And I'm not here to teach the ones who are not here. I'm only here to teach the ones who are here. But I'm here day after day after day, and I'm not saying, oh, woe is me. No. Oh, happy is me. I'm on vacation all the time, 24/7, on vacation. And I study and teach and study and teach. If you want to be here, great. If you don't, great. You do whatever is important. But this is what's important. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.